Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Now we turn to a fascinating exhibition of portrait photographs selected from the archives of the Maryland Historical Society and assembled in a show called Reflections, A Brief History of Looking at Ourselves. Joining me now to talk about how this exhibition came together and to share some of the stories behind some of the photographs, Joe Trepea. He's the film and photography curator at the Maryland Historical Society. Good to see you, Joe.
Hey, good to see you, Tom.
And Elena Volkova. She's an assistant professor of art and visual communication design at Stevenson University. She's also a co-host with Joe Giordano of the photojournalism podcast 10 Frames Per Second. Elena, it's nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, Tom.
So, Joe, the fascination with selfies, we just took one here in the studio, as a matter of fact, is something that, you know, has been well documented, and we see it all the time. When we talk about looking at ourselves, when it comes to photographs, I guess photographs of ourselves are more alluring than, you know, nice landscapes or mountains, right?
Well, yeah, food and our pets give it a tough run for the money. But yeah, we've been obsessed with taking photographs of ourselves ever since the beginning of photography as we know it.
And Elena, selfies are actually a part of this exhibition, right?
That's right, yes. We have a crowdsourcing component where anybody can take photographs, post them on Instagram, and we will repost them at MDHS's Reflections exhibition site. And they actually, we have a monitor in the space, so they actually make it into the feed, straight into the exhibit.
Right into it. So you waste no time, you know. Yeah. And Joe, photography has been around perhaps longer than most folks might imagine, right?
Yeah, it's been around for about 180 years. And that was the reason we did this exhibit. We wanted to pay homage to 180 years of photography. And as we started looking through the vast collections we have at the Historical Society, we really had to narrow it down. It was just too much stuff. And Elena sort of pushed me in the direction of portraiture. And the more, you know, we both thought about it and talked about it, that's kind of where we landed, was concentrating on portraiture.
And so we think of portraiture as, you know, a single image of a face mostly in a frame. But Elena, I want to talk about a picture that really just fascinates me. And of course, it's a little complicated talking about a picture when our listeners can't see it, but we're going to post a slideshow of some of the photographs we talk about on the WIPR Midday website. But this is a photograph entitled The White Masks Inspecting a Prisoner at Detective Headquarters. Dates from about 1909. We don't know who took the picture. It's an African-American man standing sideways and about 20 white men with masks, white masks over their faces, looking at him. It's stunning. Tell us a little bit about this photograph.
It's a pretty incredible photograph, and I'm going to refer to Joe because you wrote a blog post about this image. But what was fascinating, I'm just going to mention, first time I encountered this picture, there was this interesting dichotomy between posing for an image and this really stark reality, of course, of a you can't avoid but think, what is the context? Is it really posed or is it the candid shot? And really, how this image resonates with our complexities of today's society, and especially in Baltimore City.
Yeah. So, Joe, yeah. I mean, is this like this is before two-way mirrors? So is this a bunch of police officials looking at a possible suspect?
That's what it turns out to be. And we do know that it was taken by the Hughes Company, which was a photography company that got hired a lot for any number of tasks. And it turns out the Hughes Company was hired by the police department, who was preparing to put out a publication. So this is a very staged photograph. If you look really closely, the prisoner, the quote prisoner, doesn't look nervous. There, you know, I've scanned it and looked deep into it by enlarging it. He's not sweating. He doesn't, you know, he's very well dressed. So it's clearly a staged photo to sort of display this technique of facing the masks, which was before two-way mirrors and before mugshots were widely used. An interesting thing about it is at the time...
So the prisoner can't identify anybody who's looking at him, but they can all identify who they're looking at.
There is one man not wearing a mask. And one of the ways we discovered what this is we found the book that the police department put out. The copy that we have of it at the Historical Society has the faces redacted of the detectives. It's kind of like a yearbook. Sort of showing who was on the force at the time. I found the same book at the Pratt Library that doesn't have the faces redacted. So It's interesting that they put this book out, and either they were very sloppy about it, or one of them was sealed and not to be opened.
Or intentional in some weird way, And Elaine, of course, some of the photographs are much more contemporary. There's a beautiful photograph at the William Maccabee Playground in the Gilmore Homes by a guy named James Singewald, who's a wonderful photographer, taken in 2015. A bunch of kids on the basketball court, and they're just sort of, you know, they're camping for the camera a little bit. And so those portraits are fascinating, too, when you catch these moments in time.
Absolutely. And we felt that contemporary photography should be a part of this exhibition. And MDHS has been collecting Baltimore Uprising Archive. And we pulled this from this archive, which, of course, speaks again to kind of Baltimore culture and also very complex. I feel like this photograph is very complex and how it fits into the sense of belonging section in the exhibition is really interesting.
Yeah, and Joe, when we did experience the unrest and violence in 2015, the Maryland Historical Society did reach out to folks for their images of that time. So there must be just many, many images that people...
There are thousands of images in the Preserve the Baltimore Uprising Archive, which Maryland Historical Society was but one partner in this collaboration to create this public archive.
There's a beautiful portrait of a beautiful woman named Martha Ann Patty Adavis. Again, the photographer is unidentified. It's a daguerreotype. Am I saying that word right?
Daguerreotype.
Daguerreotype. And it's just the portraits are really interesting because just the look on the people's faces in that instant in which the photograph is taken just speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And this photograph, the way it has made into this archive is an interesting story. And of course, what is depicted, it's not just a daguerreotype. As we know, daguerreotypes early on were very expensive to produce, so only the wealthy could afford them. So this image of Patty is actually she was a family's, we think she was a slave in the family where she served. And there is another photograph at MDHS collection of her and a little girl that she was taken care of. So I think that's a really unique image.
Yeah, and to have images, because, you know, obviously people who were enslaved were not the first choice for subjects of photography, Joe. So
yeah, the earliest daguerreotype studios in Baltimore charged $5 to have your photo taken, and that would be approximately $130-some today. So, yeah, it was really only a certain, you know, it was kind of like buying an iPhone.
Yeah, back then. Yeah, really expensive endeavor. And Elena, as we finish up, there's a beautiful photograph in Locust Point of a group of immigrants taken sometime between 1895 and 1900. This comes from the Baltimore City Life Museum collection. And again, you see maybe 15 people and the expressions on the faces are just so beautiful.
This photograph, it was taken by John DuBois. He was an immigrant himself, and he documented early immigrants arriving to Baltimore. This particular image is Polish immigrants arriving to Locust Point, and it's among the collection of images of various representations of group photographs. We were interested in creating a collection that speaks to how people represent themselves in the group photograph. So we have images of families eating dinner and workplaces. And we wanted to have kind of like a sense of humor and a sense of, in a way, banalities, how sometimes we pose for a picture. So this is a really...
Yeah, it runs the gamut. Elena Volkova is an assistant professor of art and visual communication design at Stevenson University, and she co-hosts the podcast 10 Frames Per Second. Joe Trepea is the film and photography curator at the Maryland Historical Society. They are both curators of Reflections, a brief history of looking at ourselves at the Maryland Historical Society. It's there until next July, and we've got more information and a slideshow, as I mentioned, of some of the photographs on our website, wipr.org/midday. Well, Elena and Joe, thank you very much. This is a great exhibition. Good luck with it.
Thank you, Tom. It's really great to be here.
That's it for us today. Coming up on Midday Monday, two Baltimore City Councilmen join me to discuss their proposal to make Baltimore a trauma-responsive city. What does that mean? How would it work? Who would it help? Plus, a woman who knows a lot about trauma, Erica Bridgeford, who joins us on Monday after every Baltimore ceasefire weekend. That's happening this weekend, and she'll be with us Monday to talk about how things went, along with Councilman Zeke Cohen and Christopher Burnett, and a student at Frederick Douglass High School, Brianna Harris. Thanks to Bottoms Up Bagels for providing lunch today. Bottoms Up Bagels is a small-batch pop-up bagel shop preparing hand-rolled New Jersey-style bagels, house-cured lox, and specialty cream cheeses inspired by traditions of bagel making dating way back to the 1940s. Bottoms Up Bagels offers customized catering packages of all kinds. You can find them at the JFX and Waverly Farmers Markets and as well online at bottomsupbagels.com. Midday's director and engineer is my hero, Luke Spicknall. Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill produce our program. Jamila Krempel is WIPR's digital producer. Austin Coghlan from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. Our interns are Rob Velasquez and Margot Kohler. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. I look forward to being with you next week. Have a great weekend.